Okay, testing. All right. So, stop that distant temple bell. Anyone?
I'll start. So, I live within, like, hearing distance to the temple bell at the cathedral downtown. Uh-huh. I think it's the cathedral. I don't know. There's a church nearby, uh-huh. But it's not that near. So I literally listen to a distant temple bell several times a day. And right now, when it gets cooler at night, I open the windows of my apartment, and so I can hear it really well. And it happens at a quarter till the hour. Not on the hour, but a quarter till. But some, and most generally it's really short, but at some other random times on an hour, it's really long. And so just in the last couple weeks, I've become obsessed with trying to figure out the pattern of the distant temple bell, because it's kind of starting to drive me a little crazy. So I found this, from a personal standpoint, to be really relatable, uh-huh. at first. Because normally the temple bell is pleasant, but every now and then... So at first I was thinking, oh, well, I kind of like the distant temple bell. Why does he want the temple bell to stop? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, maybe he's a good Buddhist and he's meditating and the temple bell is disturbing for him. Or maybe he's in a bad mood and the happy temple bell music is, like, you know, irritating. Or maybe... You know how it is when you hear something in the distance and you can't quite hear it well enough for it to be clear, or it's just sort of off somewhere and it bothers you? And maybe that's what it is. And then I thought maybe the temple bell signifies a bad thing happened. Like maybe they ding the temple bell when someone dies or when there's been a tragic thing, and maybe it's a harbinger of bad things, so that's why he wants the temple bell to stop. So... I kind of went all... I started out like, with this really internalized thing about my own experience with the temple bell, and then I turned it into, like, this crazy...
Like a Seinfeld episode.
Actually, it reminds me of this obscure Monty Python routine where the husband and wife are in their kitchen having breakfast, and the bells are playing really loud down the street, and the man is like, I wish those bloody bells would stop, and the wife is like, well, it's quite nice, it's Sunday, it's a church. He said, well, what about us atheists? Why should we have to listen to that sectarian turmoil? He goes on and on and on, more and more alliteratively describing how much he hates those bells, until he finally goes into the closet and digs up a nuclear missile and aims it at the church down the street.
Yes, that was a good one.
So don't come. That's how he stopped the temple bells. Yeah. In downtown. But yeah, and now I'm never going to be able to hear that bell again without thinking about this. I'm going to be like, stop the distant temple bell. Stop it.
And then there's always the Edgar Allan Poe story about the bells, bells, bells. Could you story? Buddha likes to sit there. Thanks.
Well, it's kind of funny how it developed into a metaphor, but at first, you said to stop the distant bell, and I thought of it in the sense of it being a nuisance. So the best way to stop it was to not acknowledge it, and therefore it was non-existent. I was at Nimbus Lake today, and it was very serene. So I went back there in my mind, feeling the refreshing water over me as I swam through it, and it carried me away, and a mixture of sunlight hitting me and swimming and even seeing striper fish and crawdads, and I carried myself into a world. But then I noticed it came a metaphor when there's little sounds going on, and it was like I was telling David, it's like having the TV and maybe you lose reception, so you try and tinker to get the reception back, yeah. And that's what I was doing. But I notice sometimes when I'm focusing so much on tinkering, my mind is deviating back to the fundamental, the principle of relaxing and letting it all shed, stress and nuisance and the external distractions, and I was able to get back there when I realized, make it more simple, you know, don't focus so hard.
Yeah.
And I thought about it in a large perspective of life is filled with nuisances and distractions, and that I have to let shed that upon my thought, my consciousness, and what triggers stressful reactions to such things.
Yeah.
So that's my perception of it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like if sometimes when you like it, it's really nice to hear, but when it's annoying, it's really annoying.
Well, you said to stop it, so my thought was to stop it from existence in my consciousness.
Okay.
And, yeah.
How'd that work for you?
Worked out real well.
Uh-huh. Until we started talking about it again.
Oh, it's bad. But yeah, you can sometimes bring it back, because I thought what you said, stop the bell, but then when I thought about it, well, it comes back, you know, it triggers in the synapses,
right.
So I...
Like everything in our mind, you know, we can quiet our mind down, and then it comes back, and then we quiet it down again, and it comes back, and
it was very pleasant, though, to follow this practice, so I just want to say I'm very glad to be here today.
Okay, well, thank you for being here. Yes?
I had a bit of what she said in the beginning about the annoyances, because I used to have to go to my grandma's house every summer.
Uh-huh.
And she lived by St. James Church in downtown Manhattan. And that thing would go off, like she's talking about. Most of the time, though, it would be most annoying at sunrise, right? And this is a tradition, though, I think, back in a lot of different churches, that at sunrise it gets really, you know, loud and very long time. And sometimes at sunset, and I think another part during the day. And traditionally, even in ancient times, people were doing that because it was an event to watch the sun go up. However, it's really, really an awful experience to be woken up. So anything that you're waking up to, you know, can sort of be an annoying sound, almost like even if it's something pleasant while you're awake. So what I got was this sort of parallel thing after. This was only after I saw this picture, because sometimes when I meditate, I have a mind's eye goes off.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw various things that were shaped like bells being hit, and each of them sounding sort of different pitch or whatever, different metals, and then I got down to a glass and how it sounded, right? And there's this annoying sound that some people associate it with I think it's a T word, whatever, with a ring in your ear. That sounds very much like the glass, but they all make the same three-syllable sound, which a lot of mantras and prayers are surrounded by, which is the Om, which is Aum, right?
Yeah.
The Trinity, the creation, the creative sound. And within us, sometimes there's this voice, and sometimes we don't want to hear it. You know, same as that sound, which is the very source of that voice, that we don't want to hear it. So I think it's sort of a parallel between physical and also the metaphysical of an awakening, and how sometimes we resist awakening and it's annoying and we just want it to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he said about tuning it out, I was perfect, because that's what we tend to do. We make ourselves more comfortable by tuning out that inner voice sometimes. So you know, that's kind of what I got.
I actually, something triggered when you were talking about sometimes the sound is something you enjoy and you want to hear, and sometimes it's annoying, and that reminded me of being free of both aversion and attachment.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like what you said, to stop the distant temple bell is to be equanimous with what is. Like, so I'm not reacting to the sound at all. Kind of like the computer sound from Story's toy.
Yeah, that's a good example.
Isn't that a good example?
It was actually, it was really annoying to me, but it was actually...
So how would you stop that bell?
I actually went out there and turned the off button.
Because
I really had to do that. Because I was worried about other people reacting to it too, but...
What got me about the temple bell thing was also temple being holy, and also temple also being a metaphor for
oh,
body.
That's nice.
And that's why I was
yeah.
thinking about the noise coming from within. Your innermost or whatever, could
yeah.
comparison to the bell of the holy temple. Just
right.
because
so
it's
that's,
temple's mentioned.
That's good. Where is the bell?
Right, what is distant?
Yeah, what is distant? Where is that bell that you're trying to stop?
And I think to take what Alicia did one step further, you had the power to go shut it off when you went and turned the off switch on Story's toy. Like, the most generally, with the literal distant temple bell, we don't have the power to go and say,
but we can
stop
turn it,
it
out. But we can turn it out.
We can tune it out, but...
Yeah.
Or we can be equanimous with it.
Or we can be, right.
Well, we normally do tune it out. That's the word I'm feeling, you know. That's what I'm getting from that.
John, any thoughts? Quiet one over there?
I'm so tired.
That's sometimes when free. Perhaps you'll tune out.
So how do you stop your distant temple bell?
I just about tuned everything out at one point and I felt my head drop. It would have been a big
SKBons.
Big bell for everybody on the floor. No, to me it just kind of like had just meaning had to do with like the future, you know, thinking about thoughts of like the future or whatever, you know, having your mind being, you know, the bell being like distant thoughts or whatever that, you know, you're thinking about the future.
Yeah.
That's kind of my take on it.
It's another one.
Like I said, life is full of nuisance
yeah, right.
bells that you just...
You ever notice that when people are yelling at their dog to stop barking, they usually make more noise than the dog makes? Trying to get the dog to stop barking. Like,
yeah.
Shut up! Woof, 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 woof.
That's what it's like in New York. You people, shut up! Turn that radio up! Shut up! Maybe being louder than them. At least I can hear the music, you know?
But you think that if people were more equanimous with the noise, it would be a lot less noisy, right?
Yeah.
Because half the noise is everyone yelling at someone to shut up.
So true. Sometimes it's noisier trying
yeah.
to stop.
I'll think about that more.
Huh?
I'll think about that more.
You have to make noise to stop the noise.
What's
we
that?
You have to make noise. We think we have to make noise to stop the noise, but do we really?
Oh, that's interesting. Say more about that.
Well, it kind of goes to what everybody else was saying. Like, the whole, I was, like, thinking about you talking about people in New York. Like, it's like, something's noisy, so you yell at them. Like, turn down that radio, or stop that crying baby, or whatever it is. But you're, like, making noise to stop the noise. And it seems like there's something deeper happening there, but I don't really know what it is. An irony or a dichotomy or I don't know what.
I think it's what happens to us as we try to adjust to things without actually doing anything conscious about it. We start to create layers of separation between us and our true selves or the all or whatever it is. And we continue to pile distraction after distraction on top of it because it keeps us a piece away from what we think is annoying us. And I think it's
right, because there's the thing that's happening. And then there's our reaction to it. And it's like, if we can, it seems like, anyway, for my practice, I would like to develop enough of a buffer between my reaction to it and the thing happening so that it can be there and that's okay, and it cannot be there and that's okay too. But I'm the boat on the water, and I'm just able to just, like, let the water do its thing.
Right.
And not resist it.
Right, yeah, and you also, yeah, so I guess a phase of blocking it out, once you've acknowledged it, might be something that's peaceful, you know, where you can actually, like, because if you just try to ignore certain types of noises, when you go into a different place, you won't hear those noises, and that's not good either, because you have to at least know where you are and what's going on. And then you can know what to tune out if you want to tune it out or whatever. But it's a it's a bad habit to get into because you start losing awareness unless you actually bring yourself back to actually receive, and then, okay, cool, it's there, and then go back into your little form.
The bell just eventually stops anyway.
Mm. What's that?
The bell stops eventually. Why even try to...
Yeah.
What you're saying is an observation, I think. Stop the empty, the distant bell is more of just an observation. That's what I took it as. And what's going to stop eventually, it's not... You can stop it with like yelling at it or grabbing it or going out and turning it off. Or you can go, well, okay, that's a bell. It's going to eventually fizzle out. So I'm going to just wait that out, or I'm going to step back and move on to something else.
So all of the strategies you named involve separation. That you're putting the bell someplace, putting the bell somewhere else outside of yourself. So it's like, me, I am annoyed by that bell. I gotta stop it. I'm either gonna block it out or turn the radio up or go bang on the church door, tell them to knock it off or whatever. But what if there was no separation? Then where would the bell be?
It'd be with you, that's for sure.
What's that?
It would be with you.
Right.
You would be faced with it.
Well, no, even that, you're even closer. Even closer than that. Huh?
You are the bell.
What?
You are the bell.
You are the bell. Stop the bell.
Yeah, I thought the bell was the innermost, but maybe it's bigger than that.
Yeah, so stop the bell.
Because if you have no separation from the bell, you can control the bell. Right?
You can what?
Control it.
Well,
right?
if there's no separation, then what is there to control?
There's truly no separation. You are, yeah.
You're going to enjoy ringing and you're going to enjoy not ringing. Whatever's going on with you, you're going to enjoy that. You're not going to be out of sync with what's going on.
You're
going to
be the boat on the wave with the bell.
Right. Okay. I feel us getting closer to this, to the heart of this koan.
This one was a little easier for me to catch on to than a lot of the other ones.
But
this one was a little bit more explosive for me than the other ones were.
Yeah. So stop the bell.
This actually brought more questions for me than it did answers.
Okay.
Like, so why does he want to stop the bell? What's the whole point of stopping the bell? Is it like maybe because the bell's so far away that he can't hear it, and if the bell in the temple is supposed to be a holy place, and he's like, I can't hear this bell, so what's the beauty of the bell if I can't hear it and it's in a holy place? So it's kind of like brought up like a lot of questions, like why does he even want to stop the bell? What's the point? And it's kind of like if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there, does anyone hear it?
Yeah, it is along those lines, isn't it? So, hi.
So,
So what's the point? What's the point of stopping the bell if it's too far away to hear it?
Hmm.
Well, if it's too far away to hear it, then it's not a problem, is it?
Yeah.
But if it is a problem, what do? Or where, like I was asking before, where is the bell? Yeah.
Well, for me, I saw it on a mountain and I flew to it and then stopped it and went back to my lake. But
okay.
Can you read it one more time?
Well, the bell is, that's the
yeah, stop the distant temple bell. That's it.
Okay.
In its entirety.
When I first heard it, I have a week's advance.
What's that?
I had a week's notice of this koan.
Right, yeah.
But I didn't think about it, I just let it sit. But actually a few things came up. One, when you first said it here, I laughed. And then my mind just went blank.
Hmm.
And it stopped. And I thought that was really interesting, that I laughed at a koan. I thought that's pointless. I thought that's funny, because it's already stopped. That was my initial kind of gut reaction in my mind. And I just sat with that. And then now, that was now. And then looking back, when I went to go do, because I did a sensory deprivation tank in San Francisco on Saturday. I don't know if anybody knows what that is, but basically you're in a 6x6 room in total darkness, in total silence, in body, in 11 inches of water. That's the temperature of your own body. So basically you lay down and you're floating. You actually do float in the water. It's 1,400 pounds of Epsom salt.
Oh, I did that.
So
I did that about 2 hours. I did that about 3-4 sessions.
So you float.
Yeah, I was in it for an hour, and it's a very interesting alternative to certain therapies, to, you know, relaxation and to meditation, because it bypasses the body. Very interesting. But that, when I laid down, I just let it, I kind of observed what was happening and just kind of sat with that. And I don't know, I feel like there's a connection to kind of just being in that space without any interruptions, and this stopping of the bell, I feel is a link for me. I don't know, I'm trying to still work it out. That's just came up now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I saw an interesting part of that, because it's kind of like stopping your thoughts. This one's kind of stopping the whole charade and just being there, you know. I'm not sure where I'm going with that last part, but I just thought I'd throw it out there. Yeah.
Something occurred to me while you were talking about that. When we were talking about the fact that the bell could be us, I just had a completely off-the-wall thought about judgment and separation, where we, like, if I am annoyed by something you're doing, and I know damn well that I do the same thing, you know, I don't know if it has something to do with that type of separation as well, too, because if we are the bell, or we're judging the bell as distant, that could be the thing about outside judgment. I don't know.
Yeah, judgment, that's interesting. When you judge something good or bad, that creates those feelings of attachment, repulsion. It's like, oh, I like that, or I don't like that, or make the bloody bell stop, or whatever. Yeah, so we have those judgments about whether something is good or bad, or something we like or dislike. Yeah.
So if there's no separation between you and the bell, then is the bell maybe the internal icky thoughts that are in your, that are like in your head, like maybe your negativity or
the things
you don't want to, that you need to stop, like the internal things in your head that you wish would just stop?
Right. Yeah. 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 So how do you make that stuff stop?
Why I come here.
What?
That's why she comes here.
Oh, that's why you come here. How's that working for you? Okay, I'm gonna let you in on something. It never stops. But it can lessen, it can kind of turn down to a, you know, dull roar. It can be less of a problem. You know, the thoughts, the monkey mind, the yelling that's going on between your ears all the time. It's like, that drives a lot of people really insane. And they don't know what to do about it. And they try, you know, to drive themselves to distraction, literally, to get away from all that stuff. But it's still there. It's never going to go away. And when we realize it's okay, that's what the mind does. It just chatters. So how can I just let my mind chatter and then go about my business? You just let it do its thing. And over time, if you just let it do its thing, you know, that's what meditation practice is for. We're practicing letting our mind just be itself. It's not being bad. It's just doing what it does. So if you just let it do its thing, it'll kind of tire itself out. But the more you fight against it, then it's like, oh, I'm going to win this argument.
I practiced this meditation.
Right.
That happened to me.
Yeah.
Because I was fighting, I don't know, I was fighting it, and as I was fighting, I was out of sync with what it was giving me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was relaxing more, I was thinking of the elements of that lake, and then I just relaxed, and it was more a synergy
mm-hmm.
between me and the thoughts.
Yeah.
It's that I practice this very deep meditation called I meditate on egos a lot for disintegration. I don't know if you've ever heard of disintegration practices.
Okay.
Very, very intense thing where it involves a lot of introspection and also clearing out some of these thoughts, certain egos, root egos, and aggregate egos. And you're right, you can't get rid of them. You can shrink them or you can tune them as you talk about, and they continue to grow. But if you ever get to a point to where you get them manageable enough, more manageable than you've ever experienced in your life, you can sense a lot of those thoughts. But then what you're left with is a temple bell, is what I'm saying, is that there's also another voice that you fight as well too, that is the duality within us. So sometimes we're annoyed by our conscience. Sometimes we're annoyed by the things that we have to do, and we'd rather not do those things. And sometimes we confuse those things with those other voices. And I guess some of the key to meditation is to be able to decipher, you know, your monkey mind from your spirit. So in order to do that, you have to tune down your monkey mind as much as possible. But I'm just saying, don't get discouraged if there's certain voices that still stay there. That's kind of what I'm suggesting.
I think this is kind of essential with what I face and for example, my father is a guy who gets very distracted and angry. He lives in L.A., yells at traffic, lets everything... Talk about a man who cannot stop the distant bell in that sense. And I try to exercise it, and then I neglect being mindful of exercising, being at peace with how things are and that there is a bell always ringing, a nuisance, a distraction... Yeah, and like you said, you know, to be accepting of that the life is filled with these things and trying to be the boat on that water, riding the waves, and yet be in balance with, yeah. That's it.
And also, if the bell never stops, is what if it's just like that light ringing that you hear sometimes that just like annoys you so much? So that might be worse than the bell just on full blast, is that light ringing that you just can't get rid of.
You mean the silence mm-hmm. that you hear when you hear the silence and you hear that ring, that pitch ringing?
And you still hear that pitch of ringing because it's so low.
Yeah, and that's like something silence. That they teach you to ignore. There's some exercises around that I could teach you.
I think you mentioned that the tinnitus,
yes.
The ringing ears, yeah, I have that all the time.
Right, and I was actually doing some practices and also taught, and also was reading a lot about it, and there is tinnitus, don't get me wrong, but in a lot of cases, people just learn to tune it out, and they've always had it. Like when you're first born, it's the first sound that you hear, and when you die, it's the last sound that you hear, and so... This is sort of the sound of God in you, or your life force is what some people in mystical practices compare it to.
I always thought it was severe nerve damage.
No, because I've always heard it my entire life. But I mean, and I haven't been any prescribed with any kind of sight or ear problems at all, and I've always had it. I just won't admit it sometimes, so I won't talk to anybody about it. But I have good hearing. It's just some things that I don't. Let distract me.
Right.
I continue to hear it. And
you've made peace with it.
Yeah, and if I meditate on it as a focal point, like anything to focus on, I actually can actually go out of body.
Right.
You know, and it actually works very well. And I could do a mantra while in that astral position and actually eliminate some other things. But it's an amazing experience. Even if it's just a concentration focal point, it does work for meditation if you accept it and even use it as a focus tool.
We've come to the end.
We have.
Have we stopped the bell yet?
We've come to terms that we're...
What's that?
We've come to terms with it, I guess.
Come to terms with the bell?
One little thing I wanted to add about it. It reminds me of kind of the emptiness of the I and the self and how to work with that, because we're not the mind, but we're not... We are and we're not, you know? I mean, we kind of have this bell that goes on and on and on. But we also, through meditation, we realize that, you know, we can step out of that. So obviously, we aren't just that. we are that, but we're not. And mm-hmm. so for me, it's like, well, this is going on. I'm not the mind necessarily. I'm a consciousness of some kind, but I'm aware of this, and I just kind of keep going. Because if we associate and we just take everything as, I am feeling bad, so I'm going to feel bad. I am annoyed. I am irritated. I am thinking about this. I am hungry. I am bothered. I have this ringing in my ear. I'm agitated. I. That's literally the I letter.
Yeah.
It's always this. It's just looking around. It's just focused so narrowly. You got to expand it and separate yourself, I feel. Because that's, then you realize that we're a part of that, but we're not just that. And if we just observe that, then we can kind of become more peaceful with that. You know, I am angry. Well, the mind is angry. The emotions are angry. You know, you have these emotions that are happening, but that's not all that you are doing. That's not all that you are. That's how I've taken it.
Right.
Through other practice. And so that makes it easier to kind of accept the thoughts. Well, there's the depression again. Okay, well, there's the laziness. All right, well, that sucks, but, you know, I'm trying to move on with that and acknowledge it, because if you ignore it, then it just kind of builds.
There's just a passage in this last one, is sort of a restricted scripture that talks about the cursed is the man who gets devoured by the lion, eaten by the lion, because the lion becomes man. And so blesses the lion and curses the man. I mean, blesses the man who devours the lion, because the man, no, curses the man who devours the lion, and curses the man who curses the lion and gets devoured by the man. The man becomes lion, the lion becomes man, and it's one of this battle between man and beast,
mm-hmm.
and all of these eyes, like he's talking about, I think, or what you're talking about when it comes to these several plots, if they have to do with I and me, those, I think that's kind of what he's talking about, those thoughts, those
what
eyes.
Do you mean with the lion and the man?
Well, if the man gets eaten by the lion becomes man, the lion is blessed.
Oh, yeah. Molecular structure,
right.
Of the man being consumed.
But it's the duality of the spirit and the body, the beast versus the spirit, or the beast versus the human being, because some people consider us to be a hybrid between animal and supreme being.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, any final thoughts? We've reached the end of our session. But I stopped the temple bell over here. So I sure hope this works, because I really want to transcribe this session. It's really, really great work. So. All right, then I will close. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next week. Well, and if you want to receive our newsletter, if you're not already on the list, we're going to be sending it out next week. It's going to be a nice one. So, there. Just a template this weekend.